Stone & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. TD is with us for the TD Power Hour, fresh from the locker room. TD, good to see you. How are you?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing really well, man. Good to be seen.
And fresh from the NLCS.
Yeah, you know, quite an experience, man. I love my Mets, but I definitely, I was disgusted. But, hey, I mean, it was a blessing to be able to go, that's for sure.
So my thing is like my brain doesn't work after the show. And so I saw on Twitter, I saw the picture that you posted of Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah.
And I almost sent it to you to say, hey, look, Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry are out there. And then I realized it was you that posted
it. Yeah, right in front of me, man. It was cool. I like to have the opportunity to be a sports fan, you know. Mm-hmm. And I've been a fan of the Mets since 1983. Daryl Strawberry is the first athlete I ever liked and fell in love with. And still to this day, that's my guy. You know, so it was cool being able to go there, kind of navigate through the crowd, be like, Daryl, and he would say, what's up? And it was cool, man. I loved the experience.
Okay, TD, I am a sports fan. I am a Titan fan, and I am out.
You're out.
I'm out. Sunday's game, I said on Friday. I said, if they lose to this Indy team, given the circumstances, given the fact that Jonathan Taylor's out, DeForest Buckner's out, Juju Brents is out, you know, if they lose to this Indy team, then we're going to have some hard questions around here. And it's at the very top, starting with owner on down. Because I know the quarterback's not good. But to me, it's even deeper than that. And I've got no faith that the people running the Titans know what they're doing. I'm worried about Brian Callahan. You know, when I heard that they had a bad day at practice yesterday, which Will Levis volunteered out there, Wednesday, you're 1-4, and on Wednesday you have a bad day at practice. You got embarrassed on Sunday. I'm worried about them losing the team. I'm worried about all of it.
Yeah.
And
look, I think everything should be in play. I'm not really one to say, okay, ownership, there's an issue there. I don't think there's an issue with Chad Brinker, Rand Carthon, Anthony Robinson. I don't think there's an issue with Brian Callahan either. I think, because if you look at it, okay, let's go through the different problems, all right? Oh, the big problem after the game was, hey, Calvin Ridley needs to get the ball early, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, that's cool. So what do I do? Hey, Nick Holtz, you know, you talked to us about Ridley needing the ball early. You saw the frustration that Ridley had. What's the problem? He pointed to the second play of the game. Well, okay, yeah, it was cool. And this is the thing. This is the thing that's interesting. So many people were like, oh, Callahan's a terrible play caller because he's calling screens. Well, guess what? On the backside of the screen, you had Calvin Ridley coming open. You see all that in the concourse right there? That's about how wide open the area was for him to catch the ball and run, right? It's not Ridley's fault he didn't get the ball. It's not the offensive line's fault that Ridley didn't get the ball. It's not Holtz's fault that he didn't get the ball. It's not Callahan's fault that he didn't get the ball. You know whose fault it was? In that instance, it was Levis. And this is my thing here, because, you know, Will Levis, like, I'll advocate for him. There's a lot to like about him. But the problem is there's too much going on in his head. And you know how you know that? Because you look at the quote that he had after the game where he talked about, yeah, he wants to go and make the plays down the field. But he's like, okay, if I bypass read 1 and 2 and get sacked, then, well, wait a minute. I can't throw down the field. I got to take read 1 and 2, and it's just like, okay, what's going on? There's a lot going on in his mind. So you can't be like, boom, boom, boom. That would be like me asking you a question and you not being able to answer it because you're like, okay, well, if I say this, the Predators are going to get mad. But if I say that, the fans are going to get mad. Who do I get upset? And that's basically what he has going on.
So I hear that, but then – why wasn't he this bad last year?
Well, I think because things were a lot more simplified. Think about it. Most of his big plays came off of what?
Play action.
Boom. You know what play action does? Like, you ask any quarterback, play action gives you wide open windows to throw to, and typically it's an easy 1-2 read.
Okay, so stop it right there, because this is, again, where I'm going into my whole questioning of the entire operation. The play calling and the offensive system. Like, people are mad about individual play calls. I'm not sure I really care about that. But
it's
the development of the quarterback, you know, the what are they asking him to do, the what is he able to – that I do wonder if they've got a good grip on that. Last year, you say it's simpler than it is this year. And last year they had play action. Well, last year they also had Derrick Henry. And I, you know, we talked at length about, like, I think you gotta keep Derrick Henry around here because Derrick Henry commands the attention that makes it easier for a young quarterback. They didn't keep Derrick Henry around here. And so it's like, well, that seemed to be a mistake. You know, I do feel like they thought Levis was, I think the Levis that they see in the meeting room is not the Levis who plays on the football field. Mm-hmm. So they thought Levis could process more than he actually could, because when he's talking to them, he probably repeats it back, and they're like, it seems
he
like he's got
says,
it.
Like, he makes a mistake, and they always say, that's exactly what your explanation is, right? You know, Derek, look, Henry, that was a mutual, like, both parties knew it was, okay, it's
he's the best running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, listen. You're never going to.
He is running like the king right now.
Well, I mean, it's also good when you're not getting touched for 3.2 yards after you touch the football.
But then that
as
goes
opposed
back
to 2 yards before you do. The Ravens have a better offensive line.
I know, but that goes back again to the whole operation where they drafted Roger Rosengarten to play right tackle. Yeah, he was a guy you liked a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, they drafted him at 62 to play right tackle. So they have a right tackle. They let John Simpson walk in free agency, and Morgan Moses they traded, and they had the plan of, hey, Daniel Falele, another guy that you liked, who they had drafted in the middle rounds, was ready to step in as a starter, and they're bringing Rosengarten along at right tackle.
Andrew Voorhees, a guy who I really liked until he blew his arm out benching at the combine, that's another one.
And I'm just like, that's my
ACL.
That's my whole thing, which is like, yeah, it was great that the Titans went out and got, you know, I mean, Tony Pollard's pretty good, but it's great that the Titans have gone out and gotten big names that people got excited about, but still they're dealing with issues that they didn't get the right tackle.
Well,
you know, they're still dealing with issues about things
I don't think last week it was a right tackle issue, right? And I think really this is what it boils down to. And, I mean, I used to say this about receivers. Like 5 years ago, you know, when you had the Amari Coopers coming into the league, we had Odell Beckham, Brandon Cooks, Kelvin Benjamin, even for that year he had 1,000 yards. It was like, okay, yeah, you know what? You don't have to wait for a receiver to develop. They're coming in the league. They have an impact. Boom, it's done. It doesn't always work that way. And it's just the same, like, for the quarterback position. And sometimes, especially when you're putting in a new scheme, like this offense – is different. Like, Will Levis is being asked to do things that are different from what he's been asked to do before, right? And then you also have to look into Nick Holtz made a great point about how the Colts were. They say, listen, you're not beating us deep.
Well, that's their game.
You can have it underneath stuff. You're not beating us deep. Across the league, that has more or less been the case with this too high safety. So now what has to – the adjustment to guys like Levis has been made. Now guys like Levis have to make the adjustment to the adjustment, and that's what's going on right now. That process of him getting that adjustment and getting that development that you want, that the fans want, that the team wants, is not happening at a pace that's fast enough. That's the big problem.
I'm worried that it's not happening at all.
It's not happening enough. Now, it's a darn shame that you got to be like, okay, well, you know what? This guy had the mindset, okay, let me protect myself and slide. Okay, it's cool. This guy had the mindset.
He did slide on Sunday.
Yeah, you know, where it's like, okay, he's not drifting into sacks as much. He's moving around in the pocket, but he's not drifting into sacks as much. You know, those are the small victories. Like, I would hate to be Brian Callahan right now because his hands are somewhat tied and that he wants to win now. He wants all of that to happen. But the development of what he's brought in to do, right? This is the Q rule, right? The guy who is the QB whisperer, he was brought in to do that. That development is not happening at the process that everybody wants it to.
TD is with us. We'll get into Levis next specifically. And if Levis is a lost cause or not, we'll do that with TD next here on the program. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game. Want to tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I love Hiller. They take great care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. In fact, I've had Hiller out to my home 3 times this month. Now, I don't love the fact that I've had to have Hiller out to my home 3 times this month, but I do love the fact that when Hiller comes in, they get it done. And they have done just that. It's spooky season, and everyone's thinking about Halloween. And this month, it's all treats and no tricks with my friends at Hiller. During their spooky good fall giveaway, get a free Blackstone griddle, solo stove, or Yeti Tundra cooler with select home upgrades. Or enjoy a $99 special like an HVAC tune-up. Visit happyhiller.com today for all the details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy. Hiller, call the Happy Fish Truck today.
Well, we talked to Callahan about the urgency. He said, you know, it's always there, but there might be a different tone to it given the record and these next two tough road opponents. What's your take on the urgency going into a week like this?
Yeah, I think operationally, just in and out of the huddle too, that's something we saw on this past Sunday that wasn't up to our standard. And with all the stuff that we do, with all of the motions and everything, the different types of looks we're going to give to the defense, like, we need to, you know, get up and set on the line of scrimmage with more than 15 seconds to go. We can't be breaking the huddle, you know, approaching the line with 6-7 seconds without even having to or being able to operate what we want to for the play. So it's working through this week of getting the substitutions game like, making sure that we're getting in and out of the huddle with urgency. I think that mindset in the huddle, in and out of the huddle, should take its, you know, course throughout everything else that we're doing in the building and how we approach it. So we didn't have the best day of practice today. We all knew that. We want to come out tomorrow and make sure that that urgency and what we put out there on tape is more to our standard. So opportunity to do that tomorrow.
That was Will Levis when asked about the sense of urgency given the Bills game. Starts talking about, yeah, we got to get in and out of the huddle faster. We got to get the plays in faster. We got to get up to the line of scrimmage faster. And by the way, we didn't have a good day of practice today, so we need to have a good day of practice tomorrow. TD with us for the TD Power Hour. D-Mace lit him up today for that cut.
It's tough because it's a catch-22, right? You want these guys to be honest. You want them. How many times did Mike Vrabel say, oh, we got to coach better and play better?
And everybody got mad, yeah.
Right. So it's just finding that balance. And the thing that was crazy is I don't think the question about urgency was in regards to them getting in and out of the huddle.
No. It was Jill Jelnick who asked it. And you know this because it's a little inside baseball, but TV reporters are on for a minute 30 or 2 minutes or whatever it is, you know, coming up in sports. And it's the Titans are getting ready for the Bills. They're 1-4. And Will Levis today on the urgency of the team. Yeah, right. You know, it's a big game for a Sunday because we want to get back in the playoff race.
Yeah.
All right, on to NASCAR today. That's what she's looking for.
And here it was. He started. And the funny thing, right, last week, I don't know if you remember, but I asked Levis, Callahan, and Nick Holtz about Temple. I'm like, hey, what are your thoughts on getting Temple? No, 2 weeks ago I asked it. What are your thoughts on getting Temple, using Temple to create urgency, right, in the offense, knowing how things have been? You know, and Callahan, you know, he talked about when he was asked about this response to Levis, he said, you know, guys are having a little bit of trouble getting back into the huddle in time. Well, if you run Temple, you don't have to worry about that.
Sure.
But the problem is, and I don't know what the percentages are, of motion, but they use a lot of it. Now, by the way, the Bills, they use motion more than anyone else, 80%. And they got a way of getting Khalil Shakur the football in space.
By the way, he's really
good. Yeah, he's really good. Yep. Really good. He's helping my fantasy team, too. But that is something that they have to look at doing, that tempo and urgency. They're married. It comes hand in hand. But then for Levis to say that they had a bad practice.
Just volunteer it. And that makes me question the coach, TD, because if you are having a bad day of practice on the Wednesday after you got embarrassed with the season, you know.
There's nothing wrong with having a bad day of practice. You know, in fact, a lot of times, and Callahan has said this, you learn from when bad things happen.
I know, but Callahan says everything bad that happens is a good thing.
No, I think he has a mindset of he looks at opportunities. Like anything, adversity is an opportunity for him. Now, for others, adversity is a chance to shrivel up and hide. Like I told Callahan, sometimes you got to get fresher under pressure. And he cracked up, and I was like, yeah, that's the approach. You know, some people don't respond to adversity positively. He responds by taking that mindset and doing it that way. I don't think there's anything bad about having a bad practice because you still got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever, to get that out. But the problem is Levis's wording probably could have been better. We didn't have the best practice. right?
Levis's wording has been terrible all week. You know, when he was talking about Calvin Ridley yesterday, and he said, with Ridley, he said, you know, we're not going to point fingers. I can do better, and he can do better. Or I need to do better, and he needs to do better. And it's
right.
Like, dude, you need to just worry about you.
We need to do better. You know, there's ways to table it. And, very much
even
so.
Even then, just say I.
He could say I. Did you hear Nick Holtz? He said that they, as an offense, sat down and watched every passing play. That's what they did this week. And he's like, you know, we can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. So we all sat down and watched every passing play, and we said, okay, where is this ball supposed to go? Where is that ball supposed to go? And when I asked him about Ridley not getting the touches, he didn't pull any punches. He was like, well, you know, the second play of the game, it was supposed to go here. The cover, we got fooled by the coverage, and it didn't go there. And I'm not saying everything is on the quarterback, but, man, I tell you what, when you have one that is the one, they make, oh, that's just like, you know, putting that extra little bit of seasoning on a meal that doesn't taste that good.
You know as well as I do, Ryan Tannehill's watching this and thinking, ah!
On his boat in Fort Lauderdale with a huge lobster. Like, man, well, how you like me now?
So with that, is Levis a lost cause? Because I think he is. I'm not saying bench him. I mean, if I was the coach, I would bench him. Because I think some of the things he said over, you know, the last couple of days have been – quite frankly, I mean, honestly, like, I think it's a lot of throwing under the bus, which I don't like.
Uh-huh.
But I do wonder, like, when it comes to Levis, like, I wouldn't bench him, or I don't care if they bench him because I don't care if they – I'm done with the season. They're not going to make the playoffs. They're terrible. I hope they get the number one pick. I'm over the season. But I also think, like, the coach, like, you know, he can't go – he can't go 2-15. You know, Derek talks all the time. Derek's been talking for a month about losing the locker room if he stays behind the quarterback. And then the quarterback gets up there and says things like, we aren't going to point fingers. We have to do better. He can be better. I can be better. Like, dude, no.
It's tough. It's really tough. The good thing is, I will say, Calvin really is very strong mentally, right? And so I don't think that he's someone that's going to turn or anything like that. Now, you have other guys. Tyler Boyd's strong mentally. Hopkins is, you know, I don't know what the word. Buddhist-like.
He's unbothered by anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I think when you look at those guys, the problem is they're playing for their next deals, and they're not young second-year players, you know. Then you have other guys, Quandre Diggs. You know, you got guys who are, like, their next contract is probably going to be their last one. If the team is doing horribly, that's going to hurt their opportunities to get a better contract. And so even outside of those guys, the ones that are – they go in there and they work. Like, you know what the process is. It's hard work. To put in all that hard work and have the cake that you're supposed to be able to eat, you know, as a relief, a.k.a. the games, have that just – crushed and taken away from you, that is a problem. And I think that is something that eventually, if Levis doesn't get on the best chance to win, you're going to have to make a move eventually. But it's just how long will the process be? But I tell you what, if he's not the dude, that guy in Colorado is a perfect match.
Shadur?
Yes, sir.
I don't want Shadur. I don't want Dion. I want Cam Ward. I'll take Cam Ward.
Listen, here's the thing, and I love Cam Ward. He's probably my favorite quarterback in this. But with Cam Ward, you get a lot of the similarities with Levis.
I did see some of that hero ball kind of stuff.
Look at the Virginia Tech game.
Where he's, like, trying to get around, and he completes the pass. But it's like, yeah, in the NFL, that's not going to fly.
Shadur's off. Boom, 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 boom. In fact, Emory Hunt, you know, football game playing at CBS Sports, he compared Shadur to Joe Burrow. He said, like, the coolness and the getting the ball out and all of that on time, on schedule, is very similar to Burrow when he was at LSU. So,
do you think Levis is a lost cause?
No. I think there's still – he's a project. He's more of a project than I thought he was. But he's a project. I don't think it's lost. And I don't think Callahan and those guys believe it either, and that's why they're – exhausting this process.
More with TD, including the coach and how long this can go on before there are some issues. We'll do it next. And we'll get your phones, as we always do, at the end of the hour, 615-737-1025 on Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
Obviously, something happened between the time that, he got here till now that he wasn't pleased about it. I'm sure it was the playing time. I'm sure, he was told that he would get some playing time, that he would be in the rotation, not necessarily a starter, but he would be in the rotation. And he didn't find himself in the rotation for whatever reason. I have no idea. Was it because of injury? He wasn't playing, early on, or he didn't practice, during 2-a-days much. But they understood that when they brought him in. They knew what his practice regimen or his practice habits would be, just like they knew what D-Hop practice regimen and his practice habits would be. Again, there must have been some miscommunication between he and the Titans brass, or he and the head coach, or he and the defensive coordinator.
That was D. Mason today talking about the Titans' release of Jamal Adams, which I'm not sure, TD, I was really surprised by, given the fact that they asked Brian Callahan about it yesterday, and Brian Callahan, who, unlike the last coach, does say stuff, was like, "We're working through something, and I'll leave it at that." And I was like, "Yeah, that does not bode well." Talked last week about talking to Jamal Adams, and then he ends up getting put on the non-football injury list, and now he's been released. And you had reporting today that the Titans, that his practicing was an issue, and then he says he's fully healthy. So where are we on the Jamal Adams situation?
Yeah, so when I say the practicing was an issue, that was the reason why he wasn't playing, because they felt like they couldn't rely on him. And, I mean, look, Jeffrey Simmons, L'Jarius Sneed, DeAndre Hopkins, these are guys who are extended that olive branch of, okay, if you miss a day or two through the week, it's not going to automatically cost you the ability to be active on game day. Well, here's the thing. There were full weeks where Adams didn't practice.
Well, did he go to the team and say, "I can't practice today," or did the team say, "Hey, you're going to take the day off"?
That's where the mystery lies. Now, in talking to Adams, he said that he wanted to practice and was good to go. He told me that he did a lot of extra things to make sure that his body was right so that he could go. I just have never heard of a team keeping a guy from practicing because they feel that he's healthy, but they don't want him to practice. So there's a little bit there. He also told me that, he was shocked by how things went, because he was like, "Yo, T, Denard drafted me. Like, he's the reason why I came here." Mm-hmm. And he said that, I don't know if you heard Wilson today, he was just like, "Things just didn't work out, and I'll just leave it at that." But he wasn't concerned about starting. He was like, he told me he knew, Hooker was going to start. Hooker's making X million dollars a year, right? And he knew Diggs was going to, because of the situation. And he's like, "I just want to contribute. Like, just give me a chance to get into the flow of the game." It's tough if you're playing two snaps.
Sure.
It's tough to get into the – you're playing one snap, 17 snaps against the Packers. And let's not get it twisted. There were missed tackles in there. And when he said, "I just want to contribute," I was like, "Well, what about the missed tackles?" He's like, "Well, I mean, yeah, you don't want to have those, but, you got to get into the flow of the game to be able to make plays like that." And I hear what he's saying, but the fact of the matter is, if your opportunities are limited, you got to maximize every one that you get. And really what it boils down to is he felt that he wasn't getting an opportunity here. He felt that, he humbled himself by signing the minimum contract that he did, and he wasn't available in practice enough for them to be able to be like, "I could trust you in game."
So, see, this entire situation is why I'm really disappointed in the Titans as a whole, because I feel like this is one of those situations with the Titans where either they're not telling the truth or they're stupid, and it has to be one or the other, because, like, you signed Jamal Adams. You know Jamal Adams is not going to practice.
For 4 weeks, though?
But you know he's being held together by Band-Aids. Everybody knew that. He never plays. Jeffrey Simmons got mad at the media for saying, yeah, they signed Jamal Adams today, but he never plays. And then Jeffrey Simmons is like, these guys try to be our friends, and they try to, you know, yeah. whatever. And so you had to know that. You know, like, again, like me, like, when L'Jarius Sneed doesn't practice during the week, I don't get upset about it because I know that that's part of the deal. And if he starts missing games because of the knees, I'll go crazy. But, again, it's like that's part of the deal. And so if the Titans are upset that he didn't practice, and he's telling you the truth when he's like, I told him I could practice, and they said, no, don't. So they're making something up. And this is what the Titans do.
I don't think they were making anything up. I think if you look at Sneed, like,
well, somebody's not telling the truth between Adams and the Titans. If they're telling you we're not happy.
He could feel healthy because there's a lot of times players are like, yo, I'm good to go. I could go. And the training staff was like, this is what we're getting this feedback back and it's saying this. Like,
the cancer-curing AI model has given us
it's not even that.
Like, computation here.
I mean, look, I will say this model that you ridicule or just the things that measures that they have gone to, like, they could monitor and a part of how they know a hamstring is a hamstring, a quad is a quad, type of it, like, the degree is they could monitor, like, when guys run, like, they can monitor the force and how it's distributed, and you could tell, like, okay, yeah, you know what, he's really favoring this more than what we think, boom, based off of these, you know. So you do have that. I don't think that either party is lying. I just don't think they're on the same page. And one party feels like he's good enough to go, and the other one doesn't, and it's just been an issue. But the point for me is there have been weeks, like a full week of practice, where you haven't seen him out there.
Well, he didn't practice at training camp. It was like, when is he getting out of there? He practiced one snap and then spent the rest of the time talking on the sideline.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, I think, you know, it's one of those things where you take a shot. I hate that it cost them Elijah Molden because, you know, I'm higher.
That's why I'm about to lose my Kool-Aid.
I'm higher on Molden than most. Like, I've been consistent because I know you've called him Scarbini and you've said that he's expendable. And,
he's a backup.
You know, you said, hey, you better look at the safety position, even with him on the roster and Adams on the roster. But I think you look at that situation, Molden was going to be gone next year anyway, you know, so it's not a huge loss, right? And then I know some will look at that Mike Brown when Quadre Diggs, when Diggs went down, and like that very next play, Josh Downs had the out and up. That wasn't on Mike Brown.
So I'm not a Molden guy by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like Molden is probably too little to be a good safety, and he's probably not fast enough to be a good corner. So he's kind of a tweener. When they kept saying in the offseason that Molden could be a starter, I'm like, no, he is not a starter. But then when they traded him, I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I liked having him, you know, back in the back as a
special teams also.
Well, yeah, and which they could use some help. But especially because I'm like, what I don't want is I don't want Trey Avery playing. So, like, if Molden has to get in there, then Molden can get in there. If Molden's got to go in at safety, he can get in there. And then I saw this tweet from John Glennon today. When they released Jamal Adams, I didn't care because I knew that Jamal Adams wasn't going to be any good. But he said, the Titans signing of Adams was presumably one of the factors that led to Elijah Molden seeking a trade. Molden has played in 5 games for the Chargers, starting 3, 2 interceptions, 22 tackles, 2 pass breakups, and a fumble recovery.
Yeah, I remember because he had the one interception that
it was Mahomes, right?
Yeah, week 4 when the Titans were playing the Dolphins, he had an interception.
But it's like, what? Like, why are these guys leaving here like Malik Willis for a bag of footballs and then going somewhere else and playing better?
That's something that they have to look at from, like, within.
What is good? What? And that's, like, again, not to, like, we all knew Derrick Henry was good.
Aaron Brewer didn't go somewhere.
No, he stinks. But, like, and again, Derrick Henry's a different case because we all knew Derrick Henry was good. Mm. But I think there was a lot of talk about, yeah, I mean, he's good, but he's not Derrick Henry anymore. And
Derrick could mess around and have 2,000 this year. You know that?
So did you see my tweet the other day? So that 2021 season. And I thought that the beginning of 2021 was the most dominant Derek was. Like, the end of the 18 season and the playoff run in 19 were certainly as good as you could be. But 2021,
the beginning, those first,
before he broke his foot in Indianapolis, He averaged 117.1 yards a game. He is averaging 117.3 yards a game right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So we're what? We're about to play. We're about to see week seven be played, right?
Yes.
So he injured. He had the injury, what, week
eight?
Nine? Week eight?
Might have been nine because of a bye, but he played eight games.
Yeah, so 117 a clip. That's 234 to 704. That's 938. Right along the pace
he's
that he's
290 yards ahead of number three on the rushing list right now. He's the same guy. And that's my problem, again, is every single guy leaves here except for Aaron Brewer and plays better. Like, every single player.
Yeah.
Whether it's Derrick Henry, whether it's the best player, Derrick Henry, or the worst backup, Malik Willis, they all play better. It's like Will Levis is going to leave here and turn into Dan Marino. PT's going to leave here and turn into Trent Williams. What is going on, TD?
It's unexplainable. I think you have the guy who could potentially turn into Trent Williams and J.C. Latham. But, no, that's unexplainable. I don't know.
That is the one guy who actually has the ability to be, like, a great player.
And, hey, I did this in the locker room, too, but I want to do it on the air. Dylan Raiders is playing his behind off. You hear me? I highlighted him on Whiteboard Wednesday last week when he's pulling. And did you see when he pulled and he hit
murdered the guy. No, I think the entire year Raiden's has been the second best lineman on the team behind Lake.
Raiden's, and I told him today, I was like, look, man, like, even I get on you, you know, with how you've played, but raise my hand, you've had a good season so far.
I think Raiden's, ever since midway through last year, when he came back from the ACL, I think Raiden's the best solid player. Because he played solid right tackle, wasn't great, had some penalties. But he was it's the best right tackling we've seen from the Titans over the last 3 years. And then I think he's been, again, the second best lineman this year. That's why we've got a little segment coming up where I'm going over what I think the trade values of the guys they could trade.
Don't trade him. No.
But I do think that he has value as a guy that can come in and be on the offensive line.
Yeah, you typically don't see an O-line trade. Because, again, that's a position.
How many teams in the league right now could use an extra guy, a sixth guy that can play guard and tackle?
I think the Titans are one of them.
Yeah, but the Titans, there's nothing to play
for
this year.
Why create a need? He's a young player.
Well, I think the season's over, so I don't care.
Okay, but beyond, why create a need?
Well, his contract's up.
You sign him. I mean.
Well, you can say, hey, like, we're going to want to re-sign you, but we're going to send you off to Kansas City, and then hopefully we re-sign you in free agency. You know what Bill Polian says? Once these guys get to free agency,
anything
you
got to
consider them.
Anything goes.
All right, your phones for TD are next. 102.5 The Game. TD Power Hour here on the program. Tough one to go all the way to New York for to watch them lose the way they did yesterday. I felt bad for you.
Man, listen.
It's a long series.
I sat there in my seat after the game, and I just was looking at the field like, ugh. It was this bad. They had to say, all right, man, come on. It's time to go. We got to get out of here.
So I actually told Vingan today, I was like, hey, be tighter on things. Don't, you know, tell random. But I will say this. A couple years ago, Braves were in the World Series. My dad and my best friend's dad, we all went to a Dave and Buster's in Marietta. There was nobody there. So they put the Titans and the Colts up on the big screen. It was the overtime game. Titans win that game, basically guarantee the division. Braves are up 3-1 in the World Series. We're going back to the hotel. And I thought, what have the sports gods done to me to allow me to have this right now? And the Braves lose that night, and the next day, driving in the car, we're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on the stream.
Derrick Henry has.
And I was like, ah! So that will happen to you. Adam in Portland is up here on the program. Adam, you're on with TD. Go ahead.
Hey, TD, man. Here's my thing, man. I see Levis, and I keep thinking the same thing. If he had Kevin Mawai or Bruce Matthews, or Eddie, or Blaine, or some type of adult around him. Who knows, man? Like, can you think? And I think about all the leadership, because we have no leadership. Like, I don't mind Calvin Ridley coming out and speaking out, because it's like he's the only person who's like, I'm sick of this. Like, he's an adult, man. That's what you're supposed to do. But, like, does Levis remind you of anybody? I'm trying to think through history. If there's ever been another Levis, I truly think he is one of a kind. Like, somebody who come out and had such an incredible debut and has physical strength and is so incredibly reckless. I've never seen it. And it's to the extent where I'm like, if you compare him to Brett Favre, you're a complete idiot. Like, he's,
well,
not,
okay,
he's not even close to Brett Favre. But I've never seen anybody so incredibly reckless get so many chances.
Adam, thank you. I go back
Brett
to that
Favre
Colts game.
Was very reckless.
Well, I go back to that Colts game in 2021 that I was just talking about, the one where Derrick Henry broke his foot. Carson Wentz gave you the game.
Yeah. Yeah, Carson Wentz. Josh Freeman is a guy that comes to mind. He had, I remember that first year, you know, he was like, everybody was like, oh, he's good.
I'm going to write down on my notes. I got a Josh Freeman story I got to take off the air.
Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, I get what Adam's saying. And, I mean, look, I think there are some leaders in there. Are they leading as much in the media as they are in the room? Probably not. But I think they do have leadership
there. I think they miss Derrick Henry, though, in that regard in leadership.
Yeah.
You know, the carry the big stick, but doesn't do a lot of chirping, but he leads by example.
But when he talks,
and, yes.
It's like, oh.
And I think they're missing that. And I think they thought, you know, in Kevin Byard's leadership of kind of always being the guy that the team turned to when things weren't good, here comes Byard up here to speak for the team. And I think they're missing some of that. One texter says, TD, I keep hearing about the things Levis can't do and where he struggles, but please give me some hope. What exactly does he excel at?
Oh, well, he excels in being able to make throws that there's probably like five guys on earth that could do.
But he's not doing them this year.
No, but again, it goes back to what we talked about, the way defenses are playing them, the way things are happening as far as the protection. Like there's an last year he was just like, you know what, F it. And it's going. You know, this year you don't have that same reckless abandonment that you had. So that is something that he does. He throws very well on play action. He does an excellent job of, you know, turning his back to the defense and then flipping the shoulders back around and finding where to go and throwing it that way. I think he is a guy that can extend plays and make things happen that way too. The cupboard's not bare with him. It's just right now the ingredients that are coming together. They're not making a good product.
One texter says, TD, wouldn't it be better to build confidence in the coach and have momentum going into next season by playing Mason Rudolph, who's won 61% of his games, than losing 15 games and having no confidence in the coach?
Yeah, I don't think playing Mason Rudolph gives the coach confidence. I think, honestly, the way things are going right now, like if I'm Callahan, you know, and I'm looking at this, I'm like, hey, listen, like, I got a dude that just he's not a match. But we're still productive somewhat on offense and that we can stay in games. You know, and I'm like, man, if I get that guy, wait to see what happens then. So I don't think Rudolph being out there has anything to do with his confidence at all.
Yeah, but what do you make of D-May saying that, like, hey, if he keeps defending Will Levis, eventually he's going to lose the team?
Right.
And D-May said about the Ridley thing, I just thought this was pretty interesting. He said that he thinks the wide receiver coach is trying to hold that room together and that he can only hold it together for so long.
Yeah.
He says, you're not going to hear Burks or NWI say anything. But between Ridley and Hopkins and Boyd, those guys are airing it out with the receiver coach, and the receiver coach is trying to hold it back. And if they keep losing, you know, eventually it's going to crack.
You know, I don't think Hopkins is airing anything out. Like, he has that Phil Jackson zen. You know what I mean? I don't.
Nothing bothers him.
Yeah, nothing. Like, so
Ridley would be the guy that would crack.
Right. Right, and I think Boyd is just at a point where he's not going to make noise either. Like, if you ask him, he's going to let you know what it is, but I don't think he's just going to outright come and say, hey, look, this is the problem.
Caleb says, TD, why do you think the biggest reason is as to why the Titans' defense is bad at getting off the field on third down?
Pass rush.
TD, I think this defense secretly stinks.
I don't think they stink. Like, they're really good, but the crazy thing is, they're really good without a pass rush. Like, if they could manage to get a pass rush, like, they could be lights out.
This is the worst number one defense I have ever seen in my life, which is saying something. But I actually think they're bad. Like, I think they're getting exposed the next 2 weeks. And I'll tell you why. They don't turn the ball over. They don't get sacks. And they've been playing backup quarterbacks.
Now,
and you're going to be – I mean, this is a big boy quarterback this week.
Yeah. I will say this, though. Because I know a lot has been made about Jeffrey Simmons not putting numbers up. Well, he don't get credit for the interception, but it's Jeffrey Simmons' fault. He jacked the guard back into Flacco's face, and Flacco couldn't step into the ball, and Hooker picked it off. That's an example of what he's saying about, hey, look, you know, it's more about impacting the quarterback. Because, yeah, a sack would have been good in that situation, but getting the pickoff, that was better. It gave him the short field. They were able to score a touchdown.
So I don't disagree with any of that. The thing is those kind of plays are few and far between.
Yeah,
right,
you got to have those more consistently. Yeah,
and I need Tavondre Sweat to start getting to the quarterback.
Or impact him at the very least.
Right, where it's like, oh, he took up three guys, and Landry hit the quarterback because nobody worried about Landry.
Yeah.
A bunch of people in the text line are disappointed with your Shedeur Sanders take. One guy says, no way Shedeur Sanders needs to come to the Titans. He's got 9 rushes for minus 50 yards. But college is different. Don't they count that in college where they take it away as a rushing play
sacks.
If you get sacked?
Yeah,
and you're not drafting. I didn't know Shedeur Sanders played running back. Like,
here's what I don't know about Shedeur Sanders. If you put good players around Shedeur, would that elevate Shedeur? Like, if Shedeur Sanders and Carson Beck switch spots, and so
Shedeur Sanders has those
players.
Georgia would be, yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Shedeur Sanders is a good quarterback. You look at the way he throws under pressure. You look at his accuracy. You look at his rhythm. He is a good quarterback. What I think we have to do is take away the Sanders part of it and stop faulting this young man.
I am worried
because
about
of
that.
His dad. No, but I'm saying don't allow that. Look at what he does. Don't tell me he's a bad quarterback because of his dad. You know what I mean? And that's the problem. Too many people allow the negativity, their dislike for Deion Sanders being a man that could talk the talk and back it up, they allow that to make them dislike Shedeur Sanders. They're two different people. Shedeur Sanders is a good prospect. Watch his games. I mean, you look at what he's out there working without an offensive line and still completing passes and still hitting guys on time. You look at the late throws that he's making for wins. He is a good quarterback, period.
If you had the number one pick, you're the Titans. And Levis ain't the guy. And you've got the number one pick. Shedeur or Travis Hunter?
Oh, I'm going Shedeur.
Really?
Frankly, I'm trying to trade down to 3 or 4 and take Shedeur and take the extra benefits of it. But I'm going, yes. Because, I mean, a receiver could be really good, but if you don't got a guy that could get him the football, you know what I'm saying?
I think Shedeur is going to be a Raider. I think it's just meant to be.
I can see it.
Like,
is,
he was born to be
a Raider.
Well,
you know what he said, right? They asked him. He was on a show, and they said, what receiver would you want to throw the football to?
And he said DeAndre Hopkins. You know what I didn't like about that, though? Deion was sitting right there with them and was, like, kind of co-answering.
Yeah.
And it's like, I want to see Shedeur without Deion and what that – because you're not bringing Deion with you.
Well, hey, listen, Deion has a job to do at Colorado.
As I was saying, there's 9 million reasons or whatever why Deion's not coming with you. But I worry if things don't go well. Like, if Shedeur was having the year that Will Levis was having right now, I worry that Deion would be holding court about how it's not Shedeur's fault during his Colorado press conference.
Yeah, you could hold court and you could talk all that, but guess what? That's in Denver. That's not here.
I know, but, word travels fast. I've learned that on the radio, bad news travels fast.
It does. But, there's a thing where you hold somebody accountable for their actions, not somebody else's.
TD, as always, great stuff. You are the man.
Appreciate it.
I have my list of if the Titans are going to sell at the trade deadline, which I am in favor of, who could be on the list and what you could actually expect in return. In the order of value, we'll do it next. Live from Bridgestone Arena, Stillman & Company, 102.5 The Game.